When I came out to my parents, I made sure to make it clear that my gayness was not something I'd picked up in San Francisco, like an accent or Ghirardelli Square chocolates. But after the Indian Supreme Court decriminalized homosexuality this month, I heard politicians trot out that old line, "This might not be criminal, but it's not part of Indian tradition." This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata. Dr. Subramanian Swamy, the Harvard-educated economist who is a member of the ruling party, told India Today TV, "Indian tradition never regarded homosexuality as natural."
Just because all over the world homosexuality is decriminalized doesn't mean India also it must be decriminalized. In fact, our tradition is never to regard homosexuality as natural.
I asked Devadatt Pattanayak, India's best-selling mythologist, if that was true.
So I know so many people say God created man and woman, and I said, have you ever read the texts? You have never read enough.
Homophobia is far more un-Indian than homosexuality.
They need to understand India's comfort with its sensual traditions, which was brutally suppressed in the Victorian era, in the last 200 years.
The decriminalization of homosexuality could in fact be seen as another step towards decolonization. Devadatt has written an entire book about how Indian myths are full of stories of queerness. It's called Shikhandi and Other Tales They Don't Tell You. Shikhandi, for example, is a character from the great war epic, the Mahabharata. We read about him in our comics, the Amar Chitra Katha.
So I heard the story of, if you read Amar Chitra Katha, it is in the past life he was a woman, in the present life he was a man. Then another version was, somebody told me he's a eunuch, then somebody told me he's a transsexual. And because I'm a medical student, I knew the meanings of these words, but when I actually read the story, I realized it's a female to male transsexual.
In fact, that's what's different about queerness in Indian mythology as compared to, say, the Greeks.
So in Greek narratives, there are very clear narratives where men have sex with men and don't want gender transformation. You don't see that in Indian stories. It's definitely not. There is this transformatory element always included in it.
It's all about transformation. A god becomes a mother to deliver babies. The god Hari takes on a female avatar as the enchanting Mohini, who comes together with the god Hara to produce a son, Harihara. A goddess becomes a man to entrance milkmaids. The great king Bhagirath is born of two women, while the beautiful Urvashi is born without a mother to two fathers. Devadatt says, this is queerness.
Well, I just defined it as where the conventional rules of masculinity and femininity, maleness and femaleness, does not apply.
He says the more he reads the Indian myths, the more he sees a kind of queerness he does not see elsewhere.
Well, I have never heard of a story of a prophet who cross-dresses or a god who transforms into a woman out of affection for his devotees. I've never found these stories anywhere else in the world.
The West, unfortunately, doesn't get that fluidity, he says, because it has a more rigid framework rooted in Greek and biblical structures.
The tonality is, look, 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 your gods wear skirt, my god. You know, that it's a very school ground making fun of, look, I saw under your skirt, language.
But should fundamental rights in the 21st century depend on what the gods did thousands of years ago in the epics? Devadatt says the past has stories to tell, queer stories, but we should not look for validation in the stories about mythological heroes like Rama or Krishna.
Any form of validation in the past, because Ram did it, I should do it, or because Krishna did it, I should do it, is a very strange and... it's a mindset. It has nothing to do with the story. The stories are not prescriptive. Mythology is never prescriptive. And mythology is not propaganda, as people continuously want to turn it into.
The richness of the myths tell us that ancient India was open to queerness in a way that most of us have forgotten. Queerness might make many of us uncomfortable, but it's not un-Indian. But there are things that are surely un-Indian in our midst, that definitely came from the West.
He is unbelievable in so many ways. He has taken India to victory by just one wicket.
Like cricket. But no one has been calling that an Indian. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata for KALW.